Russia has reportedly deployed troops now at two border areas with Ukraine. This as the U.S. and its NATO allies are sending in arms and training to help prepare Ukraine for a possible invasion. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met today with Ukraine's president and foreign minister. Here he is at a press conference today.
Russia has ratcheted up its threats and amassed nearly 100,000 forces on Ukraine's border, which it could double on relatively short order.
And Ukrainians themselves are gearing up should it come to war. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley has just completed a week of reporting in Ukraine, and we have her on the line now. Eleanor, first, what is the general atmosphere in Kyiv?
Well, when I got there, it felt kind of Christmassy, Scott. It's the Orthodox Christmas and New Year. People were relaxed. Mm-hmm. Some said that they didn't even want to talk about it because they were enjoying the holiday. There were Christmas markets. Most did not think a full invasion would happen, though they didn't rule it out. And but there was no kind of panic in the atmosphere. Nobody was panicked. This being said, I did go to a military training for civilian volunteers outside of Kyiv in a forest. And these people would actually help protect their neighborhoods and cities if there were an invasion. You see billboards of recruitment encouraging people to join around Ukraine. You know, there were men and women. Some were middle-aged, some in their 50s. So they remember the Soviet Union well. And they say that since Russia's President Vladimir Putin started his aggressive tactics and propaganda toward Ukraine 8 years ago, you know, when he took back Crimea from Ukraine and he stirred up a separatist mm-hmm. war in the east, they say since then a real sense of a separate Ukrainian identity is taking hold across the country.
Now, I'm looking at a map of Ukraine. Kyiv is in the north, kind of central part of the country. What about eastern Ukraine? A lot of people there speak Russian, not Ukrainian, and they might be more sympathetic to Moscow?
Absolutely. Well, you know what? First of all, people in Kyiv, when I went in 2014, everybody was speaking Russian. So this time, I didn't go to the separatist republics, the ones that have broken off. They're hard to get into, and Ukraine does not have control over them. But I did go to Kharkiv, which is Ukraine's second largest city. It's in the east. It's about 25 miles from the Russian border. In 2014, in the separatist fervor that swept those republics, there was talk that the city of Kharkiv might go over to the separatist side, but that didn't happen. And since then, Ukrainian sentiment has grown in the town, partly because they're so close to those breakaway republics of Donetsk and Luhansk, and they've seen the chaos and misery, and they don't want any part of it. And I spoke to a professor in Kharkiv, which is a big university town, Tetyana Smitska, and here's what she told me.
Most of the people here understood the situation and they started to think more Ukrainian. We started to notice a lot of Ukrainian flags, a lot of Ukrainian symbols in the street, and more and more people, they are starting to speak Ukrainian in the streets.
She also told me that people feel their values are closer to European values lately, and that's been reinforced by the fact that the EU has given Ukrainians visa-free travel, not for Russians, though. And so Smitska said she and her daughter traveled to Western Europe last summer, and they loved it.
Hmm. Now, we've been hearing also about Russian troops deployed near Ukraine's northern border with Belarus, which is allied with Putin's Russia. Are Ukrainians worried about that potential front?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they've noticed that, you know, Belarus's leader, Alexander Lukashenko, who's also known as Europe's last dictator, by the way, he's been weakened after months and months of mass protests over the 2020 presidential election, which his citizens say he falsified to win. But Lukashenko has the support of Putin. He's backing him up, and now Lukashenko is beholden to him. And Ukrainians have also noticed that in November, Belarus and Russia signed a series of agreements aimed at further integrating, maybe forming a union down the road, and that's not a good thing for them. And here's what an attorney in Kyiv told me about that.
The Kremlin wants to rebuild like a Soviet Union 2.0. And they have now signed it with Belarus, which adds 1,065 or 95 kilometers of additional border to the north of Kyiv.
So that's Lada Roslitsky. She's a defense analyst, too. And she said that Putin could possibly place Russian troops or missiles along that 600-mile border. And it's much closer to Kyiv than the east of Russia. So to wrap it up, when I arrived, everything felt kind of normal and festive even. But day by day, I could feel the tension mounting. And I've actually talked to some people today who are making plans in case they have to flee their homes.
NPR's Eleanor Beardsley, just back from Ukraine. Eleanor, thanks as always.
Thank you, Scott.